Radio.
What is going on, everybody? We are back. This is episode 238 of the Dark Windows podcast. My name is Kevin.
And I'm the Kevin.
And before we started, my colleague got super excited about the fact that we're almost up to episode 240, which I didn't know that was a milestone. I would have thought 250 is more of a milestone than 240. It's like when you get older, like you just stop celebrating birthdays until they're big ones, you know?
I just was like, oh.
Nobody's excited about turning 36, you know? You do 30, then you do 40.
I celebrate every fucking birthday just because it's whatever, it's your birthday.
Yeah, birthdays are stupid.
And I just kind of go,
bullshit, you know, made up by Hallmark. Nobody had a birthday until Hallmark came around.
I don't think so about that.
I'm telling you. It's all about selling fucking gift cards, buddy.
So before we get started, I have to go a little sidetrack.
Okay.
And tell everybody a little story. You don't even know about this one.
Okay.
So I had a fun little adventure last Friday. So I was sitting in a church parking lot waiting for someone to show up so I could test the fire alarm system in the church. And I happened to just, you know, just sitting there and look down across the way, and there's, you know, on this other road, and I happen to see this guy pull up in a truck. And the guy I'm with goes, oh yeah, something's about to go down here. Drug deal. I'm like, oh, I don't know, you know, whatever. But, well, guy comes out from the house. It's behind the house where he's parked at. And, comes up to the truck, and the guy happens to have a dog in the vehicle. I'm like, I'm just kind of going, oh, well, you know, he must be just waiting for him, and is it conversation or whatever, friends, something, whatever, I don't know.
No dealing.
And the guy starts, you know, messing around with the dog and everything else, talking with the other guy. And then he goes up to the front window, and they start talking.
You shot him.
No.
Oh, damn.
And next thing I know, a fucking bag comes out of the guy's pocket somewhere. And the guy starts fucking reaching in and fucking tossing in little small bags of fucking coke or whatever into the guy's
probably heroin with fentanyl in it.
I don't know. Yeah. But tossing it into the fucking guy's lap.
it's probably fucking heroin. We don't have a lot of coke heads around here. We got a shitload of heroin addicts, though.
Whatever it was, I don't know, but I was just like, holy shit, you know, out in fucking middle of broad daylight.
It's Rutland, dude.
You know,
the cops aren't gonna do anything about it. Why give, nobody gives a fuck. You know.
Yeah. But I was just like, whoa, you know, I mean, that's kind of
so yeah. You witnessed your first ever drug deal.
Yeah, first ever drug deal going down in a, you know, I'm like, holy shit, dude. That's kind of, I mean, you know, I've had a drug deal. I mean, I fucking got pot from someone. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, but you buying drugs and watching somebody else buy drugs are different things.
Yeah, I mean, like, I buy pot.
Tell me you never worked at a fast food restaurant in Rutland, Vermont, without telling me you never worked at a fast food restaurant in Rutland, Vermont.
Never.
Oh, damn, dude. It was like clockwork. There was like 3 a night when I was working at KFC, and you knew where they, you know, what was going on, because they always park in the way back corner of the parking lot with their headlights off, with the car running, and then another car would pull in next to it. So you have driver's door to driver's door. You'd see the exchange, and then the car that had been sitting there the longest would take off. Then, like 10 minutes later, the other one would leave. It was constant.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. You learn how to spot shit like that pretty quick when it's constantly happening.
Yeah, I mean, I just never, you know, seen, like, you know, I mean, if it wasn't, you know, if it was just regular, if it was pot or whatever, I wouldn't, you know.
Yeah, but that's not drugs. That's a plant.
Yeah, I don't really, like, I don't care about that, but other stuff, it's just kind of like, whoa.
Heroin's fucking gross. Yeah, it's not good shit for you. There's no, like, medicinal use for it, like there is with weed.
Yeah. For sure. But yeah, anyway, that was my little side tangent saying, hey, you know, I got to witness my first drug deal.
So speaking of drugs, we're back on the road trip. We're going to Missouri. Yeah, St. Louis has got a big drug problem, so that's why I mentioned that. So we are headed to the Show Me State. Missouri ranks 21st in the country when it comes to landmass and is home to 6.2 million residents, of which 42,800 live in the capital of Jefferson City. Kansas City, the one in Missouri, has the highest population in the state of just over 500,000. But St. Louis is also a big-ass city.
Yeah, it is. I've been around it.
Not me.
Because I got to see the gateway to the west, which is pretty fucking cool.
It sounds like it'd be pretty cool to check out. I've been told there's an elevator in there that will take you up to the top of it. I guess. And is that like this some weird angle where it goes up and around at the same time to get you there?
Something, yeah.
Which sounds fucking sketchy. I don't know if I would want to try that, to be honest, but it would be kind of cool to like go see the thing and, you know, try to figure out where the other half of the McDonald's arches are.
Because
there's that one.
Uh-huh.
So some fun facts about Missouri. Missouri has over 7,000 caves, which gives it its secondary nickname after the Show Me State of the Cave State. So they've got that many caves, but they don't have the largest cave system in the country, which belongs to Kentucky. That's Mammoth Cave, which is one of the largest cave systems in the world. But they just have a shitload of them.
Didn't know that. Interesting.
Some of the best fishing in the state is done in a man-made lake that was created in the 50s with over 800 miles of shoreline, which is Table Rock Lake. That's a lot of shoreline for a man-made lake. Actually, a guy I work with is going to North Carolina, which I know is not the same state as we're talking about here. But he's going to be right near Lake Norman, which is another man-made lake where they flooded a valley.
Yeah.
And there's apparently, like, if you can scuba dive or whatever, there's still, like, towns at the bottom of the lake, like buildings and shit like that, which is kind of cool.
Huh.
It's one of those they just kind of, like, everybody's out, or pull the cork on it and just let it flood.
Yeah, well, we did that with Chittenden Dam. The electric company bought all the fucking land. You know, everybody fucking had to move the fuck out. And they tore down the houses, I think.
But they tore the houses down.
Or they tore the house down,
right.
I think.
There they didn't. They just flooded the valley and, the first successful parachute jump took place over Jefferson City when an army captain jumped out of a perfectly good airplane in 1912. Good thing he wasn't a lieutenant because he would have got fucking lost.
Probably.
The word Missouri comes from the Sioux tribe and means wooden canoe people. Because the natives of the area were pretty damn good at making wooden canoes, apparently.
Yeah. That's a technique.
The other translation was big wood people, which maybe they were good at making canoes. Maybe they had big dicks. Who knows? Maybe both. I mean,
making a canoe is a fucking...
It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's an art.
It sucks.
I mean, you gotta fucking... What is it? You know, like, hollow out a log.
Yeah.
But then there's, like, a process where you basically, like, burn it out most of the way, and
then a lot of them would like tallow the outside to try to waterproof them a little bit so it wouldn't swell up. It's crazy. It's not. There's not a reason they're made of polypropylene now.
Yeah, it's just a long process.
Yeah, not easy.
But those fuckers did them well.
Oh yeah, the only people that did, as far as I can tell from looking at them, the only people that did like wooden canoes better than Native Americans would have been Polynesians. Because those fuckers crossed oceans in them.
Yeah.
You know? There's a reason that people in Hawaii and people in fucking Samoa look pretty similar.
Yeah.
Because they came from Samoa to Hawaii in goddamn wooden boats.
Yeah.
You know? That's impressive.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a lot of water.
It's a lot of fucking territory to cover is what it is.
For sure.
In 1904 in St. Louis, the first cone for ice cream was introduced. Ice cream had existed, obviously, before that, but that's where you get the cone.
Oh, yeah.
So Yes, the rest of the world. You're welcome.
Just a regular ice cream cone, or was it like a waffle cone?
Regular cone. The waffle cone came around later.
Okay.
After they'd perfected the idea of just, you know, making an edible thing to put it in.
Interesting. You know?
So I know there's other countries out there that eat ice cream cones.
Now, I wonder, was it one of those, like, pointed cones? Or was it just kind of like, you know, how the ice cream cones...
Like the standard, like, cup stem, flat bottom? Probably that. Because that's easier to mold than a pointed thing, you know?
Well, I just want... Because what year?
1904.
Maybe they didn't have a mold thing.
Well, you would. It's like a. You basically would have used like a cake mold, where you pour your batter over it and you bake it or whatever that way. So one of my favorite topics that we get into when we do these dumb laws. Okay. I love the dumb laws. Statewide, it is illegal to drive with an unsecured bear in your vehicle. So if you're going to put a bear in your vehicle, it has to be in a cage or at least in a seatbelt. Because they didn't specify how it's secured.
Okay.
So you could technically put a bear in the back seat, and you know, as long as you hook him in, you're good.
Okay.
Take him to Starbucks to get him a puppuccino or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Or just turn him loose and let him eat the blue hairs that work there. Either way, pick whatever. Your poison. I'm not fussy. If anyone under 21 takes out household trash, and there are even... So if anyone under the age of 21 takes out household trash and there's even one single empty alcoholic beverage container, they can be charged with illegal possession of alcohol.
What?
Yeah, so if you have an empty beer can in your trash and you send your kid out with it and they get caught, and for whatever reason the cop wants to search your trash and they find a fucking Coors Light can in there, they can charge your kid with illegal possession of alcohol.
Yeah, but it's empty.
Right. Right, but
there's no alcohol.
I don't know, dude. That sounds like a real Utah law to me. But
I tell my dad he's a cocksucker.
My dad drank real beer, but state law says that it is illegal for four or more unrelated women to rent an apartment together. So if you're going to rent an apartment with, there's going to be four women, they have to be related somehow.
Huh?
You can't just have four. You know, loose women renting an apartment, you know?
Because they're going to be ladies of the night.
Exactly. Yeah, and this is a den of prostitution.
Yeah.
Send me the address. in University City, the city officials have made it illegal for any person to offer for sale any household goods in a yard or garage in front of the building line of the house or building in which the person resides. So if you're going to do a yard sale, you can't do it in front of your house. Shit's got to be in the backyard.
What?
Yeah. It can't be in the front of your house. You can do it in a side lawn as long as it's not out to the front. You know,
come to a yard sale. Come on. Yeah. Come on out back.
Yeah, right? That's fucking crazy.
Sketchy as fuck.
This clear-cut edict from the city of Kansas states that it is unlawful to take any game of fur-bearing animal from a motorboat, airplane, or motor vehicle. The only exception for this is if a hunter is handicapped and has a permit to hunt from his or her boat.
Okay.
Okay. But you also can't shoot an animal from an airplane or a fucking motorcycle or...
Yeah.
Nothing you'd want to shoot an animal from anyway.
No.
Even though I would like to get in a helicopter and go hog hunting. I think that'd be cool as shit.
That all applies here.
That's a pretty common one across the country.
Yeah. I mean, it's just
some of them get real specific.
Game.
Like, you can't shoot a moose from an airplane or a moving boat or whatever, but it's the same fucking thing.
I think Alaska's the same way with a boat.
This one's fun. In 1820, the Missouri legislature enacted a law that requires all single men between the ages of 21 and 50 to pay a $1 annual fee to the state government. Such ordinances historically would be put in place as part of the moral panic due to the important status given to marriage at various times. This law went into effect at $1. The equivalent would be paying $20 today. So,
but why did they have to pay them?
Because if you're single between those ages, you're probably, I don't know, some sort of fucking social immoral, you know, or whatever.
I don't understand.
Because you're supposed to be married and having kids by then. It's 1820.
Yeah, but you...
If you were a woman in 1820, between 21 and 50 and single, they'd think you were a fucking witch.
It's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe you're a man witch.
You're a spinster.
You know? That's,
you
know, the thing.
You didn't get married.
Exactly.
All right. All right.
So let's get into some famous folks. And we got a couple here.
Yeah. They're, I mean, you know, I didn't mean to see some, but I saw some.
We got...
No, you go ahead. I won't spoil it, because you go ahead, because you know.
Okay, so full-time rock and roll guitarist and part-time pervert Chuck Berry was born in St. Louis.
Part-time
pervert. He used to like sneak into the women's restrooms and like take pictures of them while they were on the shitter up under the stalls.
Whatever.
Yeah, or over the top of them.
Hey.
That's fucking gross, dude. I don't want to take, you know, I want pictures of somebody shitting. It's gross. It's so weird. One of the greatest fat guy actors of all time, John Goodman, was born in Afton. You know, love me some John Goodman.
Okay.
Slave turned scientist George Washington Carver was born in Diamond, Missouri. One of my favorite secondary actors from any Adam Sandler movie, Kevin Nealon, was born in St. Louis. Fucking love Kevin Nealon. He was Tithead. He was Mr. Cheezle in fucking Grandma's Boy. Yeah. He's fantastic. I love Kevin Nealon. And he was also, he did a Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live forever. Second favorite up on that after Norm MacDonald. Norm MacDonald was fantastic. Mm. The first president to have a sit-down meeting with aliens, Harry Truman, was born in Independence, which we've also talked about Independence, because there's a Amelia Earhart thing there. And the Sally House is in Independence, Missouri, which we should have fucking held off on, because Missouri ain't got shit. I said it. I said it. And I already apologized to Mike beforehand. I'm like, dude, your state fucking sucks. You got nothing to talk about.
I'm sorry, but it does. I searched high and low. Fucking, I was like, motherfucker.
Unless you want Momo, which is like the only story from there, which is a Bigfoot. But we're trying to stray away from doing mainstream kind of shit. You know?
Yeah, and fucking bullshit. Why can't they just fucking get a, you know, more? I mean, listen, we're from the state of fucking Vermont. And guess what?
We got more shit than you.
We got more. We have cryptids. How the fuck does Missouri not have any?
They got
one.
They got some fucking lake thing, which I don't do lake monsters. One of the best American writers of all time, Samuel Clemens, also known as Mark Twain, was born in Florida, Missouri, not Florida, Florida.
I mean, well,
there were so many. I kind of had to narrow it down.
Like, I mean, you had some outlaws from Missouri, and we covered one.
Which one?
A long, long fucking time ago.
Which one?
Bell Star.
That was like episode 4 a long time ago.
Yeah, like I said, long, long time ago. Long, long.
Yeah.
Long, 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 long. Yeah. Long, 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 long.
I mean, the James boys are from Missouri too, I believe, aren't they? Or are they Kansas?
Let's see. No. Right from there, and the Youngers too,
but we're gonna mention
both of them.
We're gonna mention the James Gang in passing in Patreon, patreon.com/darkwindowspodcast, $5 a month, and you get to hear what we're about to talk about after this. And this one is gonna be fun. We've had some bummers lately. This one's gonna be fun.
They had, they had some people that were from like the area that were in the area, kind of like.
I also left fucking Amelia Earhart out, so.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I mean, yeah. But, I mean, there's like a lot of, I mean, there's, you know, quite a few. They had like, you know, like Sam Hildebrand.
Who?
Sam Hildebrand. He was the Bush River Bushwhacker. Big River Bushwhacker.
Okay.
He was an outlaw during the 1800s.
And nobody had ever heard of him until you just mentioned him.
There's Bloody Bill, which is William T. Anderson.
Yep.
He was from their area.
Yep, Bloody Bill Anderson. He's been on my list for a while. He was, like, actually started shit for him a while ago.
Yeah.
Never finished it.
I mean, you know, Bell Star, like I said, and, you know, then you had the James and Younger gang.
Yep. Lots of dudes. A lot of people from Missouri.
Yeah.
Most of them don't stay from Missouri for long, though, because they're just like, this, we had to go. There's no monsters here. This place sucks. And then they leave. So if you're cool, I'm going to lead it off because mine is kind of short.
Okay.
And it's a one-off thing.
Okay.
But I saw the title of it and went, that's weird. I want to talk about it.
Okay.
So this seems to, you know, again, Jesus Christ. So this took place.
This seems.
Again, hi, this Jesus is my Christ. First time doing this. This took place in March of 2020. And I grabbed the entire encounter because it's easy to read it in their words, as we've said before.
Yeah.
And try to write out somebody's encounter when they have the fucking thing written.
Yeah.
It's just easier that way. Then you get to hear their side of it instead of having to make shit up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was walking to work. I'm a high school teacher. After visiting my aging grandmother who lives in this location. This is a...
I swear, I thought you said your Asian grandmother.
Maybe she is, you fucking racist. We don't know.
I misheard it, dickhead. I know. All right. That's fine. Yeah. We had this whole conversation about how we suck, and I'm the biggest dickhead of all.
So I took this... So this takes place in Sugar Creek, Missouri. I'm not sure if that's even a real place it's or if
Missouri.
That's just...
Missouri.
Like I don't give a fuck. It's Missouri. Okay, I don't, fine. You know.
All right.
Whatever. It's pronounce it how you want. It's Missouri.
It's probably a made-up name. Probably, you know, fake fucking town.
So I took this back road alley behind the house since it was a shortcut and I loved the scenery there.
Mm-hmm.
It was around 6 in the morning, so it was still kind of dark. The way the alley was is that it's a tiny single lane road with trees around it, and I was headed west towards the community garden. I heard some chittering sounds, so I assumed it was birds or something. Then I heard a trash can fall over. Just the neighbor's dog rummaging through the trash, I thought to myself. I saw something behind a tree, and it looked like it was trying to hide from me. It chittered at me and made a mad dash across the pavement into the other trees, and I didn't see much of it, but it was at least 6 feet tall and had black stripes on its body. It stood upright and had four-fingered hands and bow legs. It was bow-legged. It managed to scratch the strap of my satchel. That's a lot of fucking S's. When it ran, and claw marks looked more precise, not rugged. Okay. Huh. I didn't know if it tried to attack me or if it was scared. And just brushed the strap on accident as it ran by. I tried telling my buddy about it, but he was sarcastic about it, so I assumed nobody else would believe me. I only found out about this website today. I believe this came from Phantoms and Monsters, if I remember correctly, from where I sourced it. So I figured I would share my experience with, quote, the raccoon man. So he apparently thinks that he saw a 6-foot-tall raccoon man that scratched him.
Okay.
I would think you're probably closer to dog man than a raccoon man, because I have never once in my entire fucking life of like reading about cryptids and being interested in that stuff never ever heard of a giant bipedal raccoon.
Well,
I mean, I've seen raccoons run on their hind legs before, but they weren't fucking 6 feet tall, so I don't know what to make of that. But yeah, that's the raccoon man of fucking whatever it was. Sugar Creek. Yeah.
Huh.
So yeah. What do you got?
Okay. Well, since, you know, I was trying to fucking find another cryptid, couldn't find one because fucking state sucks. Then I decided, oh, let's find some haunted shit.
You're flat, Missouri.
I know. Cocksuckers.
Chested and geographically.
You know it. Know. And you have to share a fucking town with fucking Kansas,
which is also flat and bums. Awful probably.
No, it's not that bad. So I was like, all right, next best thing to all those, let's go to fucking UFOs.
There we go.
You won't disappoint me, will you, UFOs in fucking Missouri? Well, they almost did. But I found three, and I'm gonna read this the verbatim encounters from the websites, because I'm like, you know, as Kevin said, why change it, you know, why try to write everything down when you can just, you know,
exactly
read it off. So first one is, I guess it's their most famous one. It's like gonna be 50 it's like from like 50 years old. 1973, this is when this happened. It's 1973 Missouri UFO sighting. Let's see. An odd, quote, thrashing sound brought James Richard, 41, and his 16-year-old daughter, Vania, to the north window.
Vania or Vienna?
I don't know.
How's it spelled?
V-A-N-E-A.
That's not a real name.
Well, it is. So this noise brought them to the north window of their Columbia, Missouri mobile home at 12:30 a.m. Okay, first off, A, why is this 16-year-old girl up at 12:30?
Because she's 16.
Okay.
Dude, were you going to bed at fucking 7 o'clock when you were a teenager?
No.
Midnight, half the time I wasn't home from work when I was 16.
Well, I mean, not during a school night.
Yeah. I was working fucking 40 hours a week at KFC when I was in high, when I was 16.
Oh. Okay. Well, mobile home at 12:30 a.m. on June 28th, 1973. Some 50 feet away and 5 feet apart, two brilliant silvery white beams of nocturnal light shone. When these lights suddenly faded away, an oval-shaped object about 15 feet in diameter began visible. I'm sorry, not began, became visible near the ground. It was so bright that Richard had to look away. The entire area was, quote, lit up as bright as day, he reported. The trees in the UFO's vicinity swayed as if caught in a powerful wind. One almost touched the ground, and a limb snapped off. All the while, Richard's dog lay quietly inside the house. Their behavior seemed oddly out of character. His dog's, not his dog.
Thank you for clarifying that there was more than one dog acting weird.
Yeah, because I said their behavior.
I just figured you weren't assuming the dog's gender, because, you know, it's 2023, and you're not allowed to do that anymore.
But you are.
Well, I mean, you also don't know. Maybe the dog's a vegan, so that's a thing now, too, which is fucking stupid.
No such thing.
There's people that feed their dogs vegan diets.
Well, there's no such thing.
It's also animal animal abuse is what it is. Yeah.
It is. Unnerved, Richard went for a gun, which he kept on close as the UFO continued to hover by the trees. Richard then called the trailer park switchboard. Yeah. Trailer park switchboard. It asked the police to be notified.
What do you need a gun for when aliens have UFOs? That's the argument. Like, well, they got F-16s. What do you do? Use it with AR-15 for? Well, when they hit the fucking ground, I guess.
So as he spoke, the lights in his house dimmed twice. The UFO headed off toward the north, its color dimming slightly and revealing a silvery surface with blue and orange bands of light. At one point, it moved toward Richard's residence, then retreated, and after a few minutes, was gone altogether.
No shit.
Investigators subsequently found broken tree limbs, crushed foliage, and on some trees, burned leaves, as high as 30 feet above the ground.
Jesus.
In the days ahead, more leaves wilted and died, and the UFO left imprints 2 feet deep in the hard ground.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. I was like, holy shit. I actually tried to find more on this.
Yep.
And for a fucking supposed, you know, 50-year-old celebrated, they're going to be celebrated for being 50 years old. I couldn't find shit on it.
Yeah.
That's kind of fucked up. What the fuck? So next one is, it's from the Platte County Citizen. The first one was from, I finally found it off of How Stuff Works website.
Oh, yeah.
So this next one's from the Platte County Citizen, .com website. It's the headline of the article is Smithville Man Mystified by UFO.
Bumfuzzled, if you will.
This actually happened. This was actually in, December 7th of 2022. So recent.
Oh shit.
Yeah. At 5 a.m. on August 10th. Oh, before I go any further, so, supposedly they're saying, I guess according to some of the things I saw, they're actually trying to put state level or whatever, pretty much to say that the UFO capital of the world is, or the United States, is Missouri. Because I guess they have a lot of sightings there.
Yeah, but we also have this neat little place called Roswell, which kind of wins because, you know, history and stuff.
I guess.
Or maybe Phoenix, because he had the Phoenix lights, which like a million people saw.
Yeah.
Legitimately, like a million people saw.
Yeah, but I guess this is like a lot of UFO sightings.
Yeah,
like,
but did Kurt Russell see one there? No, Kurt Russell saw the fucking Phoenix lights while he was flying in his plane and saw it.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, so
fine.
Arizona wins.
All right. So anyway.
Take that, Missouri. Fuck you one more time.
So at 5 a.m.
We're going to have to find another state to rag on so we don't feel, you know, people don't get really mad at us.
We will. Don't worry.
We're coming for you fucking. What's next? Already done Michigan. Missouri. Mississippi?
Am I? Yes.
Yeah. You toothless fucks.
Ooh, should we have done Mississippi first?
Nope.
It's M-I-S-S-I-S-S.
Nope. Too late.
Oh. Okay.
One of us is from Mississippi. We don't know the alphabet. It's fine.
Okay. So,
you know, Mississippi would be 50th in everything if Arkansas didn't exist. You know that, right?
Yeah,
see, there we go. There we go.
Okay.
Missouri's like, all right, we get it. Like, fucking farm country.
Okay.
Beer and shit. Not good beer, but beer.
Okay. So, at 5 a.m. on August 10th, Smithville resident Gary Yoakum was walking through a patio door with a fresh cup of coffee when he looked up.
He opened it first.
What?
Can't just walk through a door.
He did. You know, whatever. Fucking just hit it.
Like fucking Michael Myers just hits it and just blows up.
And what he saw stopped him in his tracks. The sky was dark, but above him was what looked like a giant fluorescent light bulb or light tube that appeared to be about a quarter of a mile in length. And what looks like window frames inside it, illuminated from the inside. Stunned, he sat down and watched it. Quote, "I had no clue what it was," Yoakum said. "It was big. I don't know how high it was or how far away it was, so I'm just guessing at the size."
So that makes sense because it's been proven time and again that aerial sightings of things are the hardest thing to judge the size of.
Yeah.
Because you have no reference. Mm-hmm. Something on the ground, you can go, okay, well, it was 2/3 of the way up that tree. And then you can go measure that tree and go, okay, so it's 2/3 up. It's this.
Yeah.
On water, you can like, oh, it was that far. Water's also not super easy. But, you know, if it's a photo, you can kind of, if you have the general idea as to where it is and you can see
something,
you know.
Yeah.
If there's a landmark, it's a little bit easier. The sky, there's not.
No.
It's super fucking hard.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, yeah, it's big, you know, but you can't say, oh, it's a mile or
right
half mile, you know. Or
well, that dickhead Joe Nickel tried to do that on Monster Quest with Mothman, where they fucking set up wooden cutouts on the side of the road at different heights and different distances. And then he was really upset when people were pretty fucking close when they were guessing on him. It's like, well, you can't judge it if it's in the air. Well, that wasn't your experiment, was it? Your experiment was to see if you could judge the size of it at distance. And guess what? The furthest one of them off was like 2 feet off. Wow. So it's not 8 feet tall. It's 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
Whoa. Holy shit.
Huh.
I fucking hate that guy. I understand being skeptical of things, and I appreciate that because both of us are skeptics to an extent with certain things.
Oh, yeah.
We don't try to make a fucking career out of being a skeptic and just shitting on everybody's parade.
Exactly.
You know, if you want to do that, then like you're fucking scum.
Yeah.
I hate him.
Yoakum gets up early every day to enjoy his coffee at the patio table to begin his day in a relaxing way. When he viewed the unidentifiable object hovering above him, he was unable to move. He says, quote, all I could think was, what is it? What in the world is it? The same question I have, still have today. As much as he tried, he couldn't see the shape of the object since it was not light yet.
So all he was seeing really is light.
Yeah.
Okay.
About 20 minutes after he saw it, two other people in Cameron reported seeing the same thing. He didn't have his phone with him at the time to snap a picture, but even if he had, he was so mesmerized by what he saw, he couldn't have reached for his phone.
Mm.
He just sat down and followed the dreamlike object in the sky. As he was He has jokingly said he would even had let his coffee get cold rather than interrupt his amazing moment in the time.
Yeah. I mean, if you're flustered enough that you can't grab a camera if it's close by, you're not worried about coffee.
Yeah. Joachim was frightened at all. I'm sorry. Joachim wasn't frightened at all by what he saw. He watched the strange phenomena for about a minute. It was facing north, and it kept moving to the east out of his sight. It moved from left to right across my face. I was stupefied. I didn't wake my wife up or get the camera. Nothing. We're in the flight path from KCI, which is Kansas City International, right here. They fly over our house and around our house all the time. So it wasn't anything like an airplane. There was no noise, and it was just there.
Damn.
At about 5:30 a.m., he decided to go in the house to get his phone and Google how to report what he had seen. It took me 2 hours to track that down, Joachim said. I just put in on the internet, and there's a reporting page. I thought this meant input.
Yeah.
I just input on the internet, and there, whatever. Reporting page where you can give the details of what you saw. They contacted me a couple weeks later after the sighting.
Probably that Muffin website.
Yeah, that Muffin. He contacted an organization called MUFON.
Yep, like I said.
Mutual UFO Network.
Muffin.
Yep. An international organization that investigates UFO reports from around the globe. And I heard they're pretty fucking shitty sometimes.
MUFON? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same as BFRO. Because you don't have to be, like, you don't have to be qualified to go out and do an investigation. You just have to have free time. So you can be real shit at your job, and they're just like, whatever, because you don't get paid for it anyway. You know?
Yeah. I mean, well, like, well, some of them from BF. I mean, like, Bobo and Cliff, they're actually, I guess, pretty good guys.
I don't know. That TV show is, I lost any interest in any of those people because I'm like, they're
Bobo and Cliff kind of.
It's fucking Matt Moneymaker seems like a scumbag too. You know?
Bobo is like, if you actually like look into him and actually like hear different accounts and, you know, actually have different people talk to him. He's kind of a cool dude.
He strikes me as like being legit. Like a big stoner, you know.
He is, yeah. But he's actually legit.
But yeah, but then again,
and so is Cliff.
I have a hard time watching them because they're on that show with fucking Matt Moneymaker.
I know.
I'm just like, ugh, Jesus Christ.
So MUFON is a U.S.-based nonprofit organization composed of civilian volunteers who study reports of UFO sightings. It is one of the oldest and largest organizations of its kind, claiming more than 4,000 members worldwide with chapters and representatives in more than 43 countries and in all 50 states.
They've been around since like the 60s, I think. They've been around a minute. Yeah. Well, just for shits and kicks. It's at least the 60s.
Yeah. So,
1969.
Yep.
Yeah. They've been around a minute.
So, MUFON checks, so he goes on to say, MUFON checks my meteorologist's report, and they check on the airplanes in the area at the time, Joachim said. They check on all kinds of things, but they couldn't tell me what it was. When he told his wife, Peggy, about it, she also didn't have any idea about what it could possibly have been. I could have kicked myself for not going and getting her earlier, but she's not a morning person, Joachim said. He and Peggy have lived in Smithville for about 3 years and have built a house there. He is retired from the Ford Motor Company. Still wondering what he saw that early morning in August, Joachim is keeping an open mind and many explanations would make sense. He enjoys entertaining science fiction and doesn't rule out the possibility that the UFO he sighted could have been a spaceship from another planet. But or possibly some kind of tracking device mapping the U.S.
That's where he fucked himself, and that's where people, like skeptics, who come out of the woodwork and tear this guy apart. Because he admitted that he likes sci-fi stuff. Yeah. And as soon as you do that, they go, well, he wanted to see it then. His brain made him see what he wanted to see. Again, that's why I fucking hate professional skeptics, because they do shit like that and they ruin people's reputations for no reason other than because, you know, they can.
Of course. You know, I mean, that's just how, that's how it goes, right?
It's one thing to just keep it to yourself and go, oh, okay, crazy, and just walk away. That's fine. Whatever. Then you're going to go on the internet and just tear this guy a new asshole, and he's just a retiree that saw something.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know? Okay. So, before we go further, I wanted to just kind of go back a little bit and talk about that. So the Cameron to the Smithfield to Cameron, mm-hmm. you know, because it said if somebody in Cameron saw it. Now, looking it up, the distance from Cameron to Smithville, I'm going to guess is probably at least a good 45 minutes.
Okay.
So that's a pretty good distance, you know.
Did they make any...
Because Smithville.
Well, if you punch them into your thing, it'll give you an exact time.
I mean, well, as the bird flies, because that's how, you know, you'd basically be seeing it.
Right.
You know.
But I mean,
I'm going to say, you know.
It's a couple towns away.
Yeah.
That's what you're getting at.
It's quite a few. As the bird flies, it's roughly 1, 2, 3, 4 towns away.
Yeah.
From as the bird flies. I mean, if you go by driving, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe, depending on which way you go. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's, you know, it's a good distance. But for someone to see that same object, it kind of says it's got some good mass to it.
Right. I mean, I'm sure they're not seeing it at the same at the same time. They're probably seeing it, you know, minutes apart or whatever.
Still.
Because if it's that big that you can see it from three different fucking towns at the same time, that's a problem. We need to scramble the Air Force immediately. I mean, they made a documentary about that with Will Smith in it. You know, if it's that big, we got a problem. You can't just go up there and slap one of them. Welcome to Earth. Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. Whack.
Well, he did say 20 minutes after, so, you
yeah,
know.
So it was okay. It was moving
yeah.
at a pretty decent clip.
Yeah. Okay. So he goes on to say, I just know it was unidentified and I don't have any idea where it came from and what it was.
Yeah, it's literally the definition of an unidentified flying object. It's something in the sky you can't fucking identify.
In another interview of that about the sighting, he was asked if he minded if the publication used his name in the story. And he said he didn't have any problem or fears about talking to about it and being named in the story. I got some attention when people read it and asked, are you the guy? And I said, yes, I am. When asked if he thought aliens are real and what their purpose was in studying Earth, he admitted he has no idea. There are so many possibilities. They have come here thousands of years ago and been responsible for the pyramids. I don't know. It's just a mystery of life. One of the most interesting things I have ever seen. Unless it's really cold, he continues to go out onto the patio early in the morning. And the first thing he does is look for strange things in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
As far as people wondering about what he really saw that day, he said, quote, it's all interesting and good-natured. They might think I'm a crackpot, but I just take it for what it is. The same way I would have been.
Yeah. And it's no different than people going out bird watching.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting there staring at the sky waiting for something to happen.
Yeah. True.
You
know. Let's see. The last one.
God damn, you got a ton of UFOs, huh?
It's just three.
Shit.
New York's, let's see.
Wrong state.
Yeah. I don't know.
They're not even close either.
This is New York Skies, a UFO blog. I don't know why it says that, but whatever. So it's a family, UFO and alien encounter stories that predate the 20th century are very popular amongst the readers of this blog. This week's story recounts the experiences by several generations of one family from the 1850s to present day with the, quote, little people of the night. The family member who shared this story was 96 in 2016.
Jesus Christ.
We'll call her Alice. She shared her account with a Missouri UFO investigator. Alice's family has lived on a farm in Wayne County in southeast Missouri since the 1850s. According to census records, the population of Wayne County in 1850 was 4,518.
Shit, she was just a kid in 1850, too. Yeah.
I lived on the farm with my mother, grandmother, father, grandmother, and siblings, Alice said.
Makes sense.
The actual family farm was located near a rail head that was planted in 1871. This rail point was named Piedmont, which derives its name from the French words pied and mont, meaning foot and mountain.
Foothill.
Yep. Respectively. In 1872, a post office called Piedmont was established there, and the city around built around the location since then. In 1880, census recorded a population of 666. The current population of the city is about 1,938 people.
I love me a little town.
Yep. And they do have a lot of them.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, whoever was the youngest had to sleep on the sleeping porch of the house.
Jesus Christ.
None of us wanted to sleep there because the little people would visit, and we were all afraid of them, Alice said. I remember that my mother and grandmother told stories about the little people who visited the farm at night, and that the stories were in the family since the Civil War. It was the late summer of 1930 that Alice's close encounter began. One night in particular, when I was 10 years old, I was laying in bed on the porch, and I saw a gray being with big eyes walk up to the window and look inside at me. I was frozen in fear. He just kept looking at me. The next thing I knew, there was three of them, all about 4 feet tall, with no hair, big black eyes, small noses, and mouths, and thin, standing next to my bed. And all I remember thinking that I had no idea. And I remember thinking that I had no idea how they got inside. I was even more afraid and wanted to pull the covers up over my face, but couldn't.
Hmm.
That'd be scary shit.
Oh, yeah.
For a fucking 10-year-old?
That'd be scary shit for a fucking 35-year-old, dude.
True.
Some creepy motherfucker looking through your window, and then, like an alien then and shit.
You know, beside your bed?
Yeah, fuck that. Mm-mm.
I didn't know what happened after that. The next morning I woke up, and they were gone, Alice said. They never appeared during the day, only at night. I never saw a craft of any type, but sometimes, late at night, we would hear a humming sound coming from the low depression area around the pond, about 100 feet from the house, but never went to look to see what it was.
Don't blame you.
No. I think we were afraid to. I don't know what happened after that. Alice recounted that all of her family members frequently saw glowing objects all over the property. We often saw small white balls of light in the yard, around the farm at dusk and after dusk, but never knew what they were. The lights were about the size of a softball. The whole family was sure to be inside after dark, and we just didn't play outside after dark.
No. The you older... weird shit going on? You don't go outside after dark. No. Fuck that.
The older family members made sure we came inside, and as I think back on this, it must have been because of the little people who would take us. That is the term my mother and grandmother used. They would say that the little gray people would take us at night, but always brought us back before morning. Alice indicated that the experiences were magical in a sense. It was almost like talking about fairies or something magical that was our little secret, she said. It was not something we spoke about to other people. We kept it to ourselves and still do to this day.
Yeah, you don't fuck with stuff like that.
I still see them sometimes, only inside the house where I sleep now.
No!
I see
they're
them,
not supposed to be there.
No. I see them come in late at night, usually around 3 a.m. But for some reason, I just fall asleep and don't remember any interaction with them. I don't let anyone sleep on the porch, though. My children and grandchildren have seen the gray people. We are not afraid of them anymore. Just look at them as being visitors rather than something that will harm us.
Now, I wonder if this is UFO related or if this is like some kind of a subterranean, like ultra terrestrial kind of thing. Like, you ever seen that movie, The Descent?
Yeah.
Something like that. Maybe.
I don't know.
That's weird, though.
It's weird.
Yeah. Because like, there's other, like, native tribes in, I think it's like the Carolinas or Georgia or something that have stories of these things called the Moon People, where they were just, like, these weird fucking pale people that would come out at night. And that's the only time you ever saw them. It was weird. Weird, mm-hmm. weird. But...
yeah, so pretty much that's my UFO stuff.
Okay, I've got one more. So, in 1885, a team of miners were drilling a coal shaft in Moberly, Missouri, when they made an unimaginable discovery. Moberly is just north of Columbia, which I didn't realize you were going to talk about, on what is now Route 63. It's just about spot in the middle of the state, right in that neck of the woods there. Like, if you were to throw a finger at the middle of Missouri,
uh-huh.
you're probably touching this town, you know. It's pretty close. So I figured the best way to do this is I found a clipping of the actual newspaper article, and I just want to read that if I can get my computer to stop being an asshole and let me, because it's like kind of between two pages, so it's bouncing. There we go. Okay. A strange story comes to us from Missouri. At Moberly, in the site where some workmen at the bottom of a coal shaft 360 feet below the surface came upon a buried city arched in by a hard and thick stratum of lava. The streets are regularly laid out and enclosed by walls of stone which are cut and dressed in a fairly good, although rude, style of masonry. A hall 30 feet by 100 feet was discovered wherein were stone benches and tools of all descriptions from mechanical service. Further search disclosed statues and images made of composition closely resembling bronze but lacking luster. Of course, curiosity was aroused to a certain to ascertain what kind of people dwelt in this strange city buried for centuries beneath the earth's surface. It's clearly dwarves. This is a dwarven city.
Has to be.
It's brass. It's underground. Masonry work. It's a dwarven city. We all know that. If you've ever played fucking Elder Scrolls, you know. It's a dwarven city. And you're probably going to run into a centurion down there.
Uh-huh.
Maybe some spiders. Uh-huh. Like dwarven spiders that kind of suck.
Uh-huh.
Anything else? I can't remember the ones that are balls. They roll out and then they pop up and it's a dude in a ball. And they shoot lightning at you. They were dicks.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about, though.
Yes.
But the Centurions were the big ones. They sucked to fight.
Yeah, those cocksuckers.
Yeah.
But if you got really good, you could fuck them up quick.
Yeah. Probably got some really nice armor. big, wide, thick sword, man sword.
As long as you don't get those fucking weird fucking witch cocksuckers.
The Falmer?
Yeah.
Yeah. The blind elves? They're snow elves. Yeah.
They were cool, but, though.
Yeah. No, I want the dwarves back. Anyway.
I'd love to have the dwarves back. I'd love to have the dwarves at all.
That's what I'm saying, is they need to do it.
We'll see.
So the good deal of difficulty in removing debris, the workmen finally succeeded in reaching a spot where a stone fountain was found in a wide court. in a wide court or street, and formed a stream of perfectly pure water was flowing. From it, a stream of perfectly pure water was flowing, which upon being tested was found to be strongly impregnated with lime. It's weird because, like, you get to the end of, like, halfway through a word, and it just cuts down to the next one because it's an old newspaper clipping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's no dash. It's just, like, you have two letters and then the rest of the word, so it's throwing me off. So it'd be strongly impregnated with lime.
So it's a mineral-rich...
Yes.
Okay.
Lying beside the fountain were portions of a skeleton of a human being. For measurement of the bones, it was concluded that when alive, the figure was three times the size of an ordinary man and possessed of wonderful muscular power and quickness.
So, like, if the...
Call it 16 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. So they're not dwarves.
No, definitely not. The implements found in the city...
I'm disappointed now.
Right?
I don't want to hear anymore.
The implements found in the city embrace bronze and flint knives, stone and granite hammers, metallic saws of rude workmanship, but proved metal and others of similar character. They are not so highly polished nor so accurately made as those now finished by our best mechanics. But they show skill and an evidence of advanced civilization. The search party spent 12 hours in the depths and only gave up exploration because of the oil in their lamps being low. These facts are vouched for by the recorder of the city of Moberly and the city marshal who were there on the exploring party. The story, if true, is singular, and if not true, is a yarn that would have done credit to Missouri in the palmiest of her romancing. Fucking flowery bullshit. So just to go back over it real quick, in words that I typed, because you can actually understand what I'm saying. Masonry and artifacts in extraordinary rude design have been found. Stone tables, bronze and flint knives, stone and granite hammers, metal statues, metallic saws, and stone fountains were all found to be working. You could have picked these up and used them.
Yeah, yeah.
So to me, when you have a city that's buried this deep, it's not nature retaking the area. This is buried intentionally. Yeah, like, fuck is it? Göbekli Tepe.
Yeah.
Where it's 500 feet below the surface. Yeah. That's not nature retaking it. That was intentionally buried.
Uh-huh.
Because who knows? This potentially was a city of giants, if it's true, which who knows? I kind of hope it was, though.
That would be interesting. You know,
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And it's literally the only cool thing I found from Missouri.
Yeah, I didn't.
Other than Mike. Mike's cool. We like
true.
Mike.
That's true. Yeah, we like Mike.
So he sent us a bunch of cool stories that we read on the show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Yeah. But yeah, Missouri, probably a cool place to visit unless you're going there looking for monsters, because you're not going to find any.
No, they don't have monsters.
No, they got nothing.
They'd probably scare them.
Yeah. St. Louis is scary. So that's probably, they're like, nah, we the fuck out.
True.
We're going to go to Kentucky or some shit and get out of here. Mm. Maybe Kansas.
But you know what's cool? Studio.com.
Fucking A. Right. What a transition.
Go check them out. They have all the headphones, earbuds, Bluetooth speakers, and everything you want. Put in your basket. Go to checkout. Put the promo code of DarkWindows15 in to get 15% off your entire purchase. And if you like, you know, not spending a lot of money. Also go over to that page, you know, the
Jesus Christ Patreon.
Oh yeah. Damn.
I was giving you a chance, man. I was giving you a shot. Patreon.com/Dark Windows Podcast. $5 a month gets you access to, I want to say we're close to 100 episodes there. I was trying to count it the other night and I stopped because I was just trying to make sure that what we're about to talk about, we hadn't already covered at some point. So just to give you a little bit of a, just a little taste of what you're going to hear. If you
listen, Macho Man, calm down.
A little taste. this week, we're going to talk about some of the stupidest ways people have died in history.
Ah.
And I found a bunch of really, really fucking dumb shit that people have done to die. And it's fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So $5 a month, like Kevin said, and you get a free episode.
No, it's not free. You're paying for it. It's $5 a month. You get a new episode every week.
Well, I said you pay for it and you get
it. It's not free if you've paid for it, idiot.
All right, fine.
God damn.
You can also find us on Facebook, Dark Windows Podcast, Instagram, Dark Windows Pod, and Twitter at Dark Windows Pod. Not so much.
Yeah, Twitter, we're Twitter, not really there.
Anyway, and we have an email address. That's darkwindowspodcast@gmail.com.
darkwindowspod@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yep.
I don't even know my own fucking email address.
Yeah. God, there's no point. Don't email us. Just get us on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's easier.
What a bum.
Yeah, pretty much. So with that being said, we are going to go record Patreon.
Yes.
And some of you will hear it. Most of you won't. But for $5 a month, you can join the club.
If you don't want to be a shithead, join the club.
And if you join, you get excellent fucking stickers. You get stickers, man. You can put them on anything.
Obviously.
You know? And they're homemade with love by my wife, because I can't do it.
I need a new sticker.
But those ones cost you money, though. So, we are going to call it a night. And just because you can't see out into the dark, doesn't mean the dark can't see into you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, don't go to Missouri. It's miserable. Maybe that's why it's Missouri.
Next road trip soon.
Yeah, probably next week.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, sure.